You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? I didn't unmute my mic. I'm a professional. Can you tell? It's not like I'm flustered because we won something.
Something? We won the whole league.
We won the whole league.
Best team ever.
Sorry, not sorry to your ears.
Woo! Upside down. Let's go. Oh my God. There's the graphic. Look at us, baby.
There's the banner. There's the graphic. I have the scarf. Look at this shit. This is amazing.
You can't take it from us. We're the first ever champions.
The first and only USL Super League champions, because as pointed out, the next one will be the Gainbridge Super League champions.
We got to win the Gainbridge championship.
Yeah, now we got to win the Gainbridge one.
We got to win all of them forever to ever.
Yep.
My God. Hi, hello, how are you?
Hi. How are you, Tom?
Liz, I'm a champion.
Yeah. I feel one star better.
Yeah. We got a star. We're getting a star above our star now.
Yeah.
We're going to have a two-star crest with one championship.
Yeah, one of those stars is the sun.
Yeah. We started with a star because we kind of knew already that we were going to win. First logo, first coach, first players, first championship. Only makes sense. It's only fair. It's only righteous. It was written in the stars. And the sun is one of those. We're putting together a little galaxy real quick, aren't we? Yeah, I feel great.
That game was wild.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this before we started recording, and we're just like, we don't even want to record this because then we have to get past it. Although, let's be real, we're going to be obnoxious as fuck for, there's my one.
3 minutes.
You know what? We have like one or two banked from other episodes. Yeah, you get two. There we go. We're going to be obnoxious as heck for the next 365 days at least.
Yeah. We're champions for a long, long time.
Or like 300, I don't know, 55 at this point.
69 or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice. We're the champions for a long time. We're the first ever champions forever. No one can ever take that from us. We beat our rivals to do it. They've never beaten us.
No.
We have the best home record in the league, 10 wins at home.
We do. Carolina can eat shit.
Carolina.
Oh, was that about a home? They haven't beaten us either.
best team in the league, Maya. Yeah, no. All right, we're having fun tonight, baby. Oh my God. The team was out Saturday night till 3 a.m. drinking in Armature Works. Woke up, kept drinking, I think. Probably the whole time. Boat parade was earlier today. We're recording this Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. My God, the boat parade, the championship vibes. We're on the news. Everybody loves us. We're getting a stadium. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Today, June 18th, 2025, is Tampa Bay Sun FC Day in the city of Tampa, as decreed by the mayor. Things couldn't be better. No offense to Gotham, but we're on cloud nine. That's their support.
They also have the best, honestly, like, other than the heat wave, obviously, because we're amazing. But I do love their supporters group name.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't beat us either. They beat us in penalty kicks, but like the penalty kicks.
Goes down as a draw. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad this game didn't go to penalties. It makes it feel more real that the championship was won in not regulation, I guess, but in the run of play.
Yeah.
It was a very, it was a quintessential Sun FC goal, the perfect way to cap off the season, kind of everything our team has done, everything we've been good at, a sub with the throw-in, coming in, making the impact late. We all know Sydney Nocello, her ability to dribble, the best in the league at dribbling. Sorry, Amina, you might be the best player. You're not the best dribbler. And then Cecilia Flew, always been a goal scorer, a poacher. She's in history forever. It was the most sunniest goal we could have scored, and we did it. We did it our way, as Frank Sinatra would say. We did it our way. Yo soy italiano.
Sí.
Sí.
Claro, claro. It's my favorite thing to do is whenever Mike says something in one language, let me answer in a completely different one.
No, I did Spanish. You're on. A little shout out to Yasmina Bundis. She's Mexican. She's a club legend. Just talking about her. Yeah.
It still like hasn't like it's set in, but it I still just want to like bask in it.
I want to let it be. The more we have to talk about it, I feel like the further we get from it. And I don't want to leave that moment at Riverfront Stadium. I don't want to forget anything. I barely want to forget the semifinal with the fireworks going off and the ceremony for Tim Rack and for Jaden Moore. And it's so cool we could give those two legends of the game a proper send-off.
Tim Rack started as champion. She's ending as a champion.
Yeah. And Jordan Listro, our captain, 4 years at USF, never won the conference with Denise. This was her first time winning a trophy with her college coach, doing it as a pro. So it's a really special trophy to everybody, obviously, all the fans, all the players, the coaches, everybody who's always been there. But it really does mean a lot for some players to play their final game and finish their careers as champions, or to finally win a trophy with a coach that has loved you and you've loved for years and years and years. So many players to take a flyer on a brand new league, a brand new team, and to come home and after all the struggle that the season has been, up and downs, making sure we get our team there, didn't have everybody for a long time because of various issues, injuries that we've all had to go through, you know, everybody on the field, a lot of people in the stands, blood, sweat, and tears to this team. And it means so much. I think we deserve it. You know, everybody wants to think they deserve to win. That's what sports is. That's what competition is. But I think Sun FC deserve this moment.
We certainly earned it, that's for sure.
Got it.
120 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
120
minutes, hard fought.
Some players out there for all 2 hours running around.
Yeah.
That's tough.
You know, it's not tough. Liking and subscribing.
Yes, got it.
So we are on YouTube at RBLR Sports. Come see our beautiful faces. Come look at my awesome scarf. That's definitely not
still upside down.
Yep. Now it's not upside down. Look at this cool scarf that somebody gave me.
Look at my cat that I've upset by picking up.
Oh, look at the kid. And these are things you can only see if you watch us on YouTube at RBLR Sports. And it is at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else.
Yep.
But for realsies, we're adorable. Watch us on YouTube.
I got my self-portrait there in the background.
Yeah. Mine too.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I am Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Yeah. So Taylor, do you want to start talking about this game? Do you want to distance yourself from it? Do you want to acknowledge that space has occurred? Time and space has moved on?
No, I don't. But I do want to acknowledge that we had about a bazillion cameras.
God, it looks so good.
The quality of this match was just, chef's kiss. I'm sorry to compare it this way, but those were some NWSL quality cameras right there.
Yeah. That's a league with a lot of time.
And we had the cherry picker right in the center so we could see in the forbidden corner, aka if you're
close left,
facing the sideline, the left side.
Yeah, the near left sideline on the video.
Yeah, the side closest to the garage is the forbidden zone that the camera cannot get to where it is normally. So I kind of hope maybe we keep that angle. We don't need all the camera. I liked the sideline cameras. They were very, very nice. And they were all like on the thingies to make them all like nice and steady, the steady cams.
Steady cam, I told you.
Yes. But if we could keep that angle, 10 out of 10, please and thank you, because that was really, really nice. Also, those cameras, can please. Do you know how many adorable, funny memes I could have gotten this year if we had had those cameras?
Finally.
There was one where Jordan Lisstrow hits the ball with her butt. It was adorable. I could not get a gif of it because the quality was shit.
Yeah, no lens flare on the camera for once.
Yeah, that too.
It was a real event.
This episode of the USL Super League was not directed by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. They went, oh man, everyone's going to watch this. We need to make sure it looks good. And boy, did it look good. Not just as a Sun fan, but as a neutral. I think if you appreciate the tactical aspect of soccer, of football, I think this was a bit of a feast. It was two teams, very well coached. Two teams that know each other. They've been obviously personnel-wise a little bit different every time with new players coming in during the fall, the spring. But I think the tactics, Tyrone Mears from Fort Lauderdale and, of course, Denise Shilty Brown, both coaches always had a plan. I think Philip Poole won the Coach of the Year with Carolina. They won the Player Shield. I get it. Mm. But I think these two teams...
They didn't win anything else.
Yeah, right? Think about that. Number two and number four make the final. Didn't win the Player Shield. Didn't win the Best Goalie Award. No player on the team. Didn't win the Best Player Award. Two players from Spokane won those. But that's what soccer is. It's a full team effort. If nobody on your team wins an individual award like nobody on Tampa Bay Sun did, and you still win, that means your whole organization was doing everything right. You know, there shouldn't be any. I mean, there's always going to be a star on a team. There's always going to be somebody who stands out, a Lisstrow for the name recognition, a Flu for what she does, Sydney Nocello. But there shouldn't be anyone who's head and shoulders better. Everyone should always be able to step up on a championship team. And for the championship game, everyone should have kind of their best game. And we almost had that, where nearly every one of our players had their best game of their season.
Yeah.
I think you could.
Yeah, if not their best game, it was up there with like just peak quality.
Yeah. Some of the best ball everybody has played. I mean, not even just on the individual level, but overall as a team. This was a complete game. It was always going to be tough. Fort Lauderdale plays us tough. They know us. They're a very good team. I'll say it once. Fort Lauderdale United is good. Only because it helps legitimize our championship too. But you're playing a team that's tough to beat, that's coached well, that has good players. And we came out and we did everything we were supposed to do and deservedly won. No controversy.
Yes, and if we're going minute by minute, we foretold our ending winning goal from the third minute. Right in the third minute, Flo to Nocello. Nocello to Flo. Just tie.
Yep.
Guess what happens in like the 100th minute?
Yeah, 97 minutes.
Nocello to Flo. Just not high.
It's a Sun goal. It's something we've been looking for and working on all season. And it was in the cards from the get-go, and it's what got us to that trophy championship. It's what helped us lift the trophy. Those two players are so good, but everybody. I mean, I'm jazzed up. I didn't think I'd have this kind of energy doing this, you know, at 10:20 at night, but I having to talk about it, I am so happy still.
I think I'm still in cuddle puddle. I'm tired.
Get Izzy back out here.
My kittens. I can't help it.
Horrible.
You know what it is? It's funny. Mike was saying that he thinks after the game, the day after the game, was the calmest I'd been in a week because I'd just been so anxious all week. Yeah. So I think I'm just finally calming down.
That's what it's like. It's a weird show. It's a good one.
It's a good one, though. Yeah. All right, you want to talk about this game?
Yeah. Like you said, we came out trying to execute our game plan, and it's the game plan that gets us to win. It's what we want to do. I think everybody was playing good. A couple of our players, especially Flint, Flo, Nacello, were all zooming around from the get-go, creating stuff. For a little creating their chances as well, trying to push down the left side. I think maybe just trying to keep the ball away from Nacello early on. Because it's not like, I mean, we've got Haugen, Listro, Bissett on our right side. It's not like that's a vulnerable defensive set over there as far as triangles go. But that was where Fort Lauderdale was looking to exploit us. Henny was sliding over, making the blocks. Everybody on that side was doing what they needed to do. We understood our game plan, and we picked up on what Fluted wanted to do pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, I think we had them pretty evenly matched. If not, we were surpassing them, matching what they were doing, and kind of like crashing their course of play. Yeah. For the most part, they didn't have a lot of opportunities, and the opportunities they did take were taken by Shania Gordon. So, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. She can take those.
Yeah.
It was basically impossible for Fort Lauderdale to come through the middle of the field at all, which has been a big benefit of that five midfield set that we've run into, the Pretty Soccer, is that we have so many fantastic midfielders. Why not clog that up? Why not make that an issue? Why not claim that super important territory? You know, you can look at a soccer field pretty easily as a tic-tac-toe board. And you know, in tic-tac-toe, if you got the center square, everything else becomes a lot more difficult for your opponent. So in soccer, if you control that midfield area, it's just the same thing. It disrupts the attacking formations for them, their game plan there. It disrupts what they want to do defensively when you can attack through that central square. So we, by doing that all season, that was kind of the bread and butter of our team. Whether or not we had some teams, some games, we would have possession most of the time and try to figure out how to break them down. Sometimes we would sit back and wait for the counterattack. We were adaptable, and that's what's so good about having so many adaptable midfielders like we do.
The whole team is adaptable, honestly. Like you were saying, like if it's no one player is winning something, then it's all the players are doing their job. And honestly, we just flow so well.
We flew so high.
Yes. Yeah, it fluted. Like a lot of my notes for the beginning of the game, first 20 minutes is fluted, surpassed us in yellows, which is kind of funny. Although we still lead the league in fouls.
Fouls can see the
And then Kiara Locklear looks like she has a bad attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to talk about how like Amber Brooks is the villain of the league. And she kind of...
it's not. It's Kiara Locklear.
Yeah. Yeah, she... Kiara Locklear finished the season with 8 yellow cards, which is exactly how many Amber Brooks did. And Kiara did it in half the games. You know, the kind of player you hate to play against, would love to have her in your team. Don't sign her. I want to keep playing against her.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I don't want her on our team. We don't need her. I don't want her. No. But yeah, she sets her tone kind of early on. Kind of early in the game, 22nd minute or so, Paige gets the ball in the middle of the field or in the middle of the box, our box, the 18-yard, and doesn't realize the heat's on because Kiara Prowley's, you know, Kiara Prowley. Sorry, I pre-marriage named her. Kiara Locklear is always hanging around that area. She comes in and just kind of starts shoving Paige, gets a call for that, doesn't understand why because she's never at fault in her mind. But that sets the tone for her game for the next couple, you know, 80 minutes, the same way that our early Sydney Mesella DeFlu attempts set the tone for us. So you can kind of see what's going on there. Yeah, this is one of those games where we're...
Sorry, your notes are out of order. So I was like, wait a minute, why? I see 25 and then 18 and then 29.
25, 18, 29. Look, it's been a weird week, okay? You can't expect everything to be in order. Talk to Jordan Lister and ask her if everything's in order this week. I doubt it.
I'm sure it still is. Jordan Lister seems like a perfectionist.
She's very well put together, I think.
Like you're saying she woke up and started drinking, but she woke up, she did her morning workout, and then she started drinking.
Yeah, I think some players on the team started drinking. I don't think Jordan's one of them.
Yeah,
18 minutes. Brooke Hendricks making her mark, the Iron Woman for us, the Gladiator in the back, gets a big block on a shot from about the top of the 18 by Kira Locklear. And it's just, it's going to be a lot of that all game. Brooke Hendricks was really on her stuff, and we needed her. And 25. Good. 25th minute, I just think the teams are kind of settling into what they want to do for what they think is going to be until the 90-minute mark. Turns out to be longer. But this is one of those games, like I said, sometimes we take the pressure too. Sometimes we sit back. This game, we know how dangerous the front three of Fort Lauderdale can be, so we were waiting to counter and control the midfield, look for the counter, try to find Cecilia Flew up top. And that's what we were trying to do. We've scored a lot of goals off those long artillery-type passes by Bissett, by Hendricks. We were looking, hoping that it might come that way for us in this game. Meanwhile, Fort Lauderdale was looking to keep the ball, like I said, on their left attacking side. I think in no small part to keep the ball away from Sidney Mosello. You know, trying to attack against Dory, who was having another, you know, season high game. I think Dory was fantastic. She was tasked to do a lot because they were keeping the ball around her. So to recover and to get upfield and to serve the crosses in. And what was a very physical game, too. They were beating the hell out of Dory and Cecilia, especially.
Yeah, they were getting a lot of fouls and then being like, why is that a foul? Which was like, I mean, you just hip checked her. Of course that's a foul.
Yeah, you were about a second late on the slide tackle. It's a foul.
Yeah, like it's fine. You still did what you had to do, but like just accept it and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, they were I get it's a championship game. They want to be there. It's good they're competitive, but like come on, y'all.
Yeah. I love how I just have a note that's just Danielle.
Yeah. Danielle, Mother Chesky. Yeah, son of a Chesky. She was Super League Referee of the Year. Okay.
Who was voting?
I don't know.
Not the fans, that's for damn sure.
We wouldn't have voted for any of them. We don't.
No. I can't name the one I would have voted for because I don't know, but it wouldn't have been Danielle Chesky.
Okay, I don't know. I would have voted for her. Just to spite you.
Just really?
Yeah. I can barely name another ref.
Hateful. Hateful.
Yeah, a little bit. Prideful is what it is. I know it's a sin, but hey, happy Pride Month. Yeah, no, I don't think Chesky made a big impact on the game. I think she handled it very well. No sendings off. No
disagree kick. For a certain offside call.
Well, that wasn't her. That was the AR.
She could overrule it.
She could have. But I mean, you gotta as the center ref, you gotta trust your ARs. Even when they're pretty obviously
very, very wrong.
Pretty obviously wrong, but yes.
Yeah, like and it's not even us biased, it's we got ahead. When was this?
Right.
55th minute. We were a little bit ahead.
Speaking of Chesky, the first yellow card in the game comes in at the half hour mark at 30 minutes. Kara probably breaks that counterattack that we were worried about as a team. And Brooke Hendricks has to just pull her down by the jersey right at midfield because she's fast. If she didn't pull her down, she was going to – Kara was going to beat her. So
and even the commentators were saying that she's a fast one. She's a hard one to beat.
Oh, yeah. She's a little sneaky, like, woodland fairy type player. Like the European mold, you know, where they're, like, playing tricks and sprinkling, like, bacon dust into people's salads when they don't want it there. I don't know what fairies do in Europe. I'm not European, all right? Figure they're, okay. I don't know, they're weird.
All right.
So, yeah, it was a good foul. You don't mind a professional foul at the 30-minute mark.
Yeah.
It's a good thing nothing more came of it. It's a good thing we didn't have to pull Hendricks because she was going to get herself in more danger. But Hendricks really isn't the type of player to do something reckless and get a yellow. If she's getting a yellow, there's usually a pretty good reason for it. She's well calculated. She's one of those players when we were watching the game again. And WSL quality, you know?
Yeah, not to compare or say that the NWSL, you know, arguably is better, but obviously right now it is kind of a 1A, 1B league. And I would be surprised if there were not a handful of players that get picked that get looked at by the NWSL.
Yeah. Especially from the championship team. I mean, you got to be some clubs around the world here in America ought to be interested in what we have to offer. I hope everybody stays. I hope our core stays. But the players that leave, I hope they go somewhere deserving of their
dead
talent.
To me.
Yeah, dead to me. Never talking about them again. Deleting them from every mention I've ever made. No, that with the whole team's so fantastic. If you leave, you'll always have a home here. If you stay, thanks. You know, God, it's so crazy. It's the off season. We have to start thinking about that.
Yeah,
it's like what a
it's 60, fine
60 day off season too.
I'm not sad or thinking about all the players that are probably leaving and very, very sad about that.
Think about the new friends we're going to make. You're going to grow to love some people. Players leaving doesn't mean you have to stop loving them. But players joining means you get more people to love.
Oh, fine.
The more history we get, the more people there are for us. The more women we can worship.
I know, and I'm sure next year I'll be like, some of these players, who?
Yeah. Yeah, talk to us in 6 months, and we'll be like, how did we ever survive without this midfielder, you know? She's the best ever.
How did we survive without, how did we look out so hard to get DSB, honestly?
Yeah. She was right. She was under our nose the whole time.
The whole time. I can't. We were talking about this while we were doing the rewatch. We're going to take a tangent. But like the fact that like at the beginning of the season, we were worried and being like, oh, man, I mean, there's a big jump from college to professional. And there's a jump when it's called when there's for coaching, too. And can DSB do it? Yeah, she damn well can.
Yeah, absolutely. DSB was like in the kitschy 80 movies when the girl like takes her glasses off and lets her hair down and now she's beautiful or whatever. It was like, oh, she's a good college coach. She's a great college coach, but can she cut at the pros? And she puts on the sweater vest and it's like, oh my God, she can. Yeah. I mean, you can't be at one school at USF for almost two decades without being a very good coach.
And that's true. They would have gotten rid of them by now. They would have gotten rid of them.
And it is real different from college to the pros. You're dealing with different people, with different age groups, with different skill levels, different plans. In college, the players are turning over so rapidly, too. You know, you only get 4 years with them, 5 years max. I mean, six if something really weird happens, like injuries or whatever. But It does mean so much that what she did at USF, and she did so much good stuff there, translates immediately to the pro level. It like what is it? 17 years at USF or and like
no, 18 years at USF, 16 of those she made it to the postseason.
Yeah, yeah. And then 1 year as a pro coach and
yeah,
a league title.
And wins the whole damn thing.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, sure, Philip Poole or whatever, but my gosh, DSB. DSB till I die.
Honestly.
This is a tangent-filled episode, but like, I think everybody in Tampa Bay Sun Country is feeling the same way we are. We're just trying to channel this a little bit, and it is so hard. We've all been, if not literally drunk since Saturday, figuratively.
Drunk on championship win.
Yeah. That trophy juice is the best. Whatever they put. Champagne, Modelo, Bud Light. I don't care what's in that. I'm drinking it, and I want whatever disease it's given me.
See, what's funny is I'd rather drink out of that than jump in the drink.
I don't care if we have to do a little heat wave Hillsborough River State Park canoe party on the off season. Which
I'm staying in the canoe.
You can. But I'm tipping my canoe over as soon as I'm out of beers in my cooler.
Fair enough.
Just putting the plan out there right now if you're in the heat wave. Come on, let's get some canoes together. Whatever. Right? We got 60 days to do something goofy. Come on.
Lord.
Yeah, you want to finish up the first half of the championship game real quick? Because there's technically four halves to this one.
Yeah, Shania Gordon has a wide shot. And also the sky is blue.
Yeah. Shania Gordon misses a shot because the goal is not big enough. More at 11, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we maybe we should be nicer because we just like murdered their hopes and dreams, but I'm not going to be. It's for
I'm not going to dial this back at all next year.
No. Nope.
If anything, no. I'm turning it up to 12 against Fort Lauderdale.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're gonna lord it over them for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Lauderdale.
I'm just glad they're not Fort Lauderdale anymore. Fort Lauderdale. Now they're Fort Loserdale officially.
Yeah, Fort Loserdale.
Yeah. And we actually, late in that first half, we start doing some kind of interesting things that, you know, we're like, oh, if this game plan isn't working, maybe we try something a little unique. And you could see that in the 44th minute when Jade Moore saw an opening and said, I'm retiring after this game. Let's find some glory. Straight line run right through a gap through the alley of the back line of Fort Lauderdale. And the pass like almost got there, or the shot was just wide. It almost happened. I think Fort Lauderdale ends up coming up with this ball. It was a great look by Jade to identify. Fort Lauderdale comes up with it. Sydney Nocella recovers the ball. Stop me if you've heard this joke before. Sydney Nocella tracks back and steals the ball back for us. Cuts back against Grosso, Julia Grosso. Shoots five hole on Laurel Ansbro. And it kind of pins balls around Ansbro's legs. The ball's pins balls around Laurel's Ansbro's legs. Yeah. Look. And I think that was probably our best chance of the first half.
Yeah.
As a goalie, if it bounces off your defender, that's scary.
Yeah.
And to have that happen off to be formed off of a run by a defensive midfielder on the wrong side of where she normally is. It just shows again how adaptable that five midfield set is. And that's all the credit to DSB, because she's telling this midfield unit what she wants done. And they're picking up on it. They're seeing openings where they know openings will be against Fort Lauderdale. And so it's just so impressive to me to see a defensive midfielder, somebody like Jade Moore, pick out a spot and make a very dangerous run. Something that could have put us up early, if not for, you know, a couple centimeters, inches different of a bounce here or there. We looked dangerous. Fort Lauderdale had some okay chances in the first half. We had some pretty good chances in the first half. Both teams are lucky that it was 0-0, I would say, after 45.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Then we go to the half.
Yeah, right before that half ends, I do got to say, Kira Locklear, league tied leader in yellow cards, comes in late on Dory Haugen for maybe the third, fourth, fifth time of the game and gets herself a yellow card for consistent late tackles finally. And looked shocked that it happened. But yeah, I like that Chesky was able to identify that she was doing that, give her the yellow card in the first half, and settle her down. Because if Kira Locklear is out there coming in later on her players for the next 45 minutes, I think the game may have gotten a little out of hand. Because these teams don't like each other. Let's be very real about that. If there's any rivalry in the USL Super League, it's the Florida Derby.
Yeah.
So that's a half.
That's the half. Then we come back, and I want to say nothing that exciting happens until the 55th minute when we definitely get a goal.
Yeah.
All right, and it's not just us, by the way. Like, this has been adjudicated or whatever the word is on the USL subreddit, USL Super League subreddit. Shout out to that, because that's awesome, and I love going there and posting my Fort Lauderdale hate there.
Yeah.
They also said it was onside. So I would like this AR2 to get their eyes checked, please.
Yeah. I did say earlier this game was pretty much without controversy, but that's only because we won. If this went to penalties or if Fort Lauderdale had beaten us somehow, I would not shut up about this definite Tash Flint goal in the 56th minute. It was such
and I know this makes us sound bitter, especially after, like,
we're the champs.
We're the champs, and also Fort Lauderdale had the same thing happen, or sorry, Carolina had the same thing happen, and then they lost. If she was offside, I would have been like, "Oh yeah, damn, she was offside."
Yeah, but I don't.
I feel like we can be objective enough to be like, "No, okay, it wasn't a goal." Like,
yeah. If it's offsides and the goal gets scored, 99 times out of 100, you're going to see the defense and the goalie appealing to the AR. You know, hands up, where's the flag?
Yeah.
Flint scored that goal and nobody was like, hey, that's offside. Everyone on the field, all 22 people, thought it was a legit goal. But one
most
person
of the stadium.
Flag. Oh, yeah, probably the whole stadium except for that one section underneath the parking garage.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, shout out, give some credit where it's due. No, they're not listening, so I don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Fort Lauderdale brought a bus up. There were some people there. Very cool. So they probably...
It was a decent-sized section. I'll give them that. They had posters. They had flags.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Pride flag. It was most of a full section. Yeah, you guys are like 5 hours away. You better come up on a bus for the championship.
Honestly.
Come on. We're not that impressed. Yeah, this to me, there's one angle they showed from, I think, like the near sideline Steadicam, where you could see the kick and Flint at the same time. Because I think when the main camera catches her run, she's behind her defender when the ball's in the air. When she shoots the ball, she's behind her defender. If anything, she was ahead when the ball was kicked and then stopped to run for a half second to get back onside. But and I know we're from a really weird angle, the referee, the AR can see it a lot better than we can, all that stuff. But
we didn't have a blurry camera this time.
Yeah. This was the best we've ever been able to see. So I don't know. It ends up not mattering. So I can't be mad about it. But we all thought it would be 2-0 on the predictions. And so for this goal to not go in regulation and maybe spur us on to a second goal and make me, James, Eureka, and Liz all look stupid, I'm a little upset. Not
I mean, I don't look stupid because I won the guessing game.
No, no. You sure. Yeah, James looks stupid. Yep. That's for sure.
Yep.
Like, I think him and I tied, but he's the guy with pictures of his ass on the internet now. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that was a really frustrating not goal.
Yeah.
That and was then the definitely game, a goal.
The team starts settling into that at second phase where you have to start thinking about extra time in a championship game, where you start making your subs. A little late, though, I think the first sub for either team is us in the 67th minute. Carlo Jimona comes off. Zaid comes in. I like it. It makes us move our shape around. Not to say Carly wasn't good in this game, but there's games where she's extremely effective and there's games where she's good.
There's games where she's been shut down.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a team like Fort Lauderdale.
I can't even say she's playing poorly. It's just Fort Lauderdale had her number.
Fort Lauderdale game planned around her to a degree, I think.
Yeah.
Because her name doesn't come up that often. And that's because it's a rival team that we played 5 or 6 times already this year. And they know if you leave Carly Jimona alone in the middle of the field, she's got to make you pay for it. So she was pretty well marked up all game. And it's no fault of her own, obviously. So bringing on Zaid helps move things around in our midfield. Takes some of the pressure off of Dory Haugen, too, I think, defensively. Because Zaid occupies that same right side. So, you know, when you're getting attacked along that side as much as Dory is, to bring in somebody like Jordan to help out, that goes a long way. That was a nice sub. I liked it. I mean, we all know how good Jordan Zaid is as a player. We're all on the Zaid train. I mean, it ends up paying in the 100th minute. So, good sub. Yep. And again, 70th minute, that whole 10-minute block of the 70s, it's a lot of pushing and pulling.
Yeah, I don't want to say that we don't have a lot of notes for this game because not a lot happened. It's just not a lot, I guess, of note happened. And that sounds bad, but it's more just to say, like, this was just a really evenly matched game.
Yeah.
Where we knew what our game plan was. We were sticking to it. We had shots that were just a little bit wide. I would argue that they were still better shots than what Fort Lauderdale was putting out because theirs were like, how wide do you want the damn net wide?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the like
stakes, the stakes not like are
a,
high.
You know, 3/4 of the way to an Olympico, a little bit too high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Sydney Nacella corner kick that nearly went in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If it's a regular season game, you could take a couple more chances and you know, try to make something happen. But when it's a championship game, it's tight. This felt like a championship game. You felt the gravity. If you were there live, especially, you felt how important this game was. It was like not a lot I've ever felt. I've been watching a lot of soccer live for a long time. So I felt similar things, but man, this was a really, really special night, even before we won.
Yeah.
Second time I've ever seen my favorite team lift a trophy in front of me. Shout out to the Florida Tropics and the UPSL National Championship. But to do it at home, you know, when the Tropics did it in Weatherford, Texas, there were about 10 of us who were fans of the team. So to do it in front of 5,006 people in my hometown in Tampa. That incredible.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I can't remember who I watched. I think it was Nocello's dad. And I just said, like, this was the greatest night of my life, honestly.
Yeah. It's way up there. I think for him and for her, for Nocello.
Yeah.
Probably got to be the best night of her life, you know, to do it at home in front of family. She's had we've talked about her. I know she's a polarizing individual, but if nobody can believe in you, if you can't believe in second chances for people, I think that's a personal failing, legitimately. And if you can't believe in the people of you, of your community, of your neighbors, I think that's also a problem with you. So I know she is a controversial person. If you're this far into the show, you probably, I mean, you probably got opinions about her. A lot of people do. But if we as Tampans can't embrace somebody from here, then what's the point of having a community almost? It's just important to believe in each other, especially these days. It's a tough world. She's a good player.
This is the show of tangents.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. In the next couple weeks too.
Yeah. I missed this. In the 81st minute, Tyrone Mears got a yellow for dissent.
Yeah. I didn't see it on the broadcast either. I found it on the league website.
That's funny.
You know, hey, you like to see, I like Mears as a coach. He's done good things down there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know,
they've got some like kind of marquee players and like Jasmine Hamid.
Jasmine Hamid, by the way, the only player I actually feel bad for.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think Jasmine Hamid is probably the name. And in big part because she's Bill Hamid's sister. But there's not a lot of like, oh wow, Fort Lauderdale United has her, you know?
Yeah.
They've done a lot with a pretty unique group of players down there. I'm only gassing them up so much because they lost to us again.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, shout outs. 86 minutes, Dory Haugen comes off. Incredible shift. I think at that point, it's 0-0. We're going into extra time. She's been doing so much. You don't want to keep putting so much pressure on one single player. And to that matter, now that we have Jordan Zaid occupying that position, we shift gears a little bit. Dory comes off and Parker Goins, an attacking player, comes off. So we're looking for that goal, even this late. We're planning for the extra time.
Planning for the extra time, but not capitalizing on our goddamn corner kicks.
No, and we had so many corner kicks. Oh, my God. I don't know the number.
I love this team, but Lord, what was going on with our corner kicks?
Yeah. At least we weren't doing, like, the exclusive short corner routine like we were against Dallas the other week.
Yeah.
We were, like, I mean, I liked when we let Nocello have a go with the Olympico chance. But, man, I'd love to score.
Yeah, okay, that was a good chance of, like, many.
But I mean, off the top of your head, Liz, how many set piece goals have we scored? Like,
we scored any?
Right? It doesn't feel like it.
Sorry to say it like that, but yeah. We are not a set piece team.
Yeah. And I guess it's not bad because we won the league, but yeah, I can't.
We're definitely a run of play goal team.
Yeah. We're going to break you down from the wings to make you regret ever thinking you could stop us. But
yeah,
when play stops, yeah, we don't. I don't know. Yeah. If there's a couple. Liz, I know I'm springing the question on you, but for next season, do you have like a wish list for what this team gets better at?
I mean, definitely set pieces, like obviously.
Yeah. That's why I bring it up. You know? Or any individual
improvement? We're going to come back to that though. And like next week or the week after. For sure, though.
That's a good thing for everybody involved to think about. Yeah, for me, it's
yeah. If you've made it this far, which by the way, thank you. I appreciate you a lot.
Like and subscribe.
What is what's on your wish list for the team for next season? Let us know in the comments, or comment on the post on Instagram. I don't care.
Shoot me a DM. I don't care.
Yeah, shoot me a DM. Send me a carrier pigeon.
Yeah. Yeah. Smoke signals.
Yep.
Yeah, I got the Navajo blanket back here. Just do some of that. But yeah, we have to get better next year because the whole league's going to get better again next year.
Yeah. That's how the whole league's going to be gunning for us next year.
That too. We got a target on our backs now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'll get out ahead of it. Maybe help stoke everybody. I want us as a team to be better at set pieces. I want to start scoring off of those when we win them because we do win them in dangerous spots. It's just never dangerous, it seems like. And on the individual level, Sydney Nocello, she has her game and she's one of the best. She's the best dribbler in the league. One of the best players in the league. got the assist on the game-winning goal for the championship. But she's always looking to cut to the end line and feeding in. I think sometimes she can round out her game a little more if she's able to cut inside and look for a shot. Be a little more selfish sometimes. It's something we don't see in it. And I noticed she had a couple chances this game to use the outside of the boot or use the inside, depending on what side of the field, because she's everywhere. She's on both sides.
I was going to say, it's funny to ask her to be more selfish. The player who we've deemed her position on the field is just field.
Field, yeah. The pit bull on the treadmill, the new Nocello. But yes, sometimes I think she would be better served by creating an angle for herself and shooting. But that, I mean, can you criticize that much when she gets the assist on the game winner from the championship game?
I guess no, when she takes down four defenders to get the ball to Flew to get the game-winning goal? Absolutely not, no.
Yeah, and that's where we're at, right? 100th minute? Yeah.
Goal!
Finally!
And if you go watch the broadcast, by the way, about milliseconds after that ball goes in, the stadium erupts.
Yes. The heat wave goes crazy. People are popping shirts off behind the goal.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. I mean,
it was absolutely beautiful. You have a great description of this goal if you'd like to go into that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was on our attacking right side, which means Jordan Zaid, you know, late in the game, attacking on the right side, Jordan Zaid's taking that throw. And she's a dangerous player with the ball in her hands. Teams don't know what to do. She's got that long throw. She's got that flip throw. So you see her with the ball late in the game. People are tired. Is she going to turn this into what is essentially a set piece? The Fort Lauderdale defense kind of moves to her to kind of deter that, I guess. And as soon as that happens, there's a quick half-second window where Sid Nocella was wide open. And instead of doing the long throw, instead of doing the flip, she just dinks it right over the top of the closest defender, right to Sid Nocella. Nocella makes two defenders miss, does what she does best. In interviews, I've seen her. She's like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with the ball when I like take someone on. I just know I'm going to beat them. And she does that, I think, to like two players. She gets to the end line, serves in a ball that is so good. If Cecilia Flew doesn't get on the end of this ball to pop it in, it's almost like one of the four Fort Lauderdale United defenders is going to put it in on an own goal, because it is just in the right spot. You cannot find a more dangerous pass. So it was so good. It was something that was foretold from the third minute. It was something that we've been looking for all season. It's something that we've done right. Juventus just won 5-0. That's one of my favorite Italian teams. So everything, it was fantastic about that.
Yeah, the ball just kind of, sorry, I must have accidentally muted myself because there's a little button for it on here. The ball just kind of bobbles there for like half a second. So it really could, like you said, it could have been anyone's like flailing leg that accidentally hits it right into the goal.
Yeah, it was such an awkward just getting there when four players are around you, if you're Flew, you know, it could have been one of those situations where it looks like such a tap in goal, but it wasn't. It was kind of up in the air. There's a lot of people around you, a lot of traffic. You've been playing for 100 minutes. You're tired. If it happens just a little bit differently, if her leg is at a slightly different angle, Cecilia, it maybe it goes over the top and we're all thinking, oh my God, could you imagine if she scored that? But with Flew as a player, you're rarely gonna, when she's on, she is one of the best finishers in women's soccer in the entire world, I think.
Yeah.
NWSL, International, Women's Super League in England, Denmark, France, anywhere in the world. She is one of the most deadly finishers anywhere around in 2025. And she had it right. It didn't go over. It went straight in. Cosette Morsch had no chance, all 6'2" of her. It was perfect. It was what we said we were going to do. 3 minutes into the game, we tried it. And 100 minutes in, we tried it again, and it worked this time. It's Sun Soccer. Just like Sid said in the postgame interview, you don't know who to mark. Who are you going to cover when you play the Sun? It's everybody.
Yeah, honestly. It was a great goal. If you haven't gone back and watched highlights of this game, my God, please go back and watch the highlights. Go watch this goal. Go watch the Heat Wave lose their absolutely lose their goddamn minds.
Yeah. It's a historic game. It's an important game. It means so much to us here in Tampa Bay. I mean, Liz and I, we're in Pinellas. We're not even in Tampa. So it means so much to us all around Tampa Bay. It means so much to so many women soccer players in the U.S. 200 something players that are getting paid very good money to play their sport that they love. They don't have to go overseas. They don't have to go to Iceland or anywhere. They don't have to hope an NWSL team has space on their roster for them. Like, I like to use Ashley Orcus as an example. She's a great player, but when she was in camp with the KC Current, she was one of like five or six goalies they had in camp. You can be a really good goalie, but to be at a pro level and be one of the two best out of five, that's crazy. So that's awesome for her. And yeah, Super Producer Eureka. It's 237 players who have gotten a chance to play pro soccer here in the U.S. that weren't there before. If you're a detractor to the Super League, you got to take a step back and look at what it means for those 237 players and those 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 coaches involved with it around the league too. It's huge. You want to grow the game. You want to grow the sport. You want to grow soccer. You want to grow women's sports. You want to grow women's soccer. You need the Super League. We're you know, NWSL has a fair share of controversies. We can go off on a tangent on that for an hour. But the fact of the matter is, it's good to have more pro teams in more markets. Especially one in Tampa, because we won. Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
It's been a minute, too. We needed it. The nickname was wearing off. We got some shine.
Yeah. We better be included on all those corny-ass shirts.
Yeah, the dumb shirts and the signs on the streets. Welcome to Tampa.
Yeah. We better be included.
Put us on your dumb knockoff shirts, everybody. Now.
And then a couple more things happen. Shania Gordon gets a yellow. Flo gets a yellow. Flint gets time-wasting yellow. Eddie McCain gets a yellow for dissent.
About the time-wasting.
We do a couple of little last-minute subs where we bring DeSello off, we bring Keen on, we take Flo off, and we bring Ashley Clark on.
Yep.
But ultimately, that ends the game, and we win. And fuck Fort Lauderdale. Go Tampa Bay.
We hate United.
We hate United.
I'm playing my flute over here. Yeah. It's so sweet to win. It's even better to beat your rivals to do it.
Oh, it's really nice that no matter what, we get to lord this over them for a year.
They can never talk. They can never say anything to us.
Nope.
Suck at New River Raiders.
They can be like, haha, Tampa Bay. I'll be like, ha, remember the time we beat you in the championship game?
The Rowdies have a winning record against the Strikers. The Sun have a winning record against United. What do y'all got, huh? What do y'all got? You got Messi? Mm-hmm. That's not even your team, okay?
No. They got Messi. Well, it's Messi on a dirt lot.
It's moving the goalpost. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Messi on a dirt lot. Well, they got Savannah Carrasco, too. Alex Morgan's husband.
No, I think I looked that up. I think that was wrong. I think that was Google being wrong, but that would have been really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, the team went out. I mean, I know a couple players in the team, post-game interviews, they said they had no doubt. It wasn't if they won, it was when they won, how they won. I know we here at RBLR, we all picked 2-0. I think everybody in Sun Country knew we're going to win. It feels weird to go into a championship game being like, oh, we're going to win. But this was there.
We won. Yeah.
We were going to win. And we won.
We were supposed to win.
Yeah.
Amanda Vandervoort gets another trophy for her precious Tampa.
Ooh. Oh, had to let had to knock out Carolina so your precious Tampa could host and win. Yeah. Yeah, the USL loves us. We're their favorite team.
Yep.
The Sun are everything the USL wishes the Rowdies were. They're like, oh, finally, one of our children is listening to us. Our younger
for
daughter.
Now.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
Wait till we get our stadium and we get rowdy in it. But yeah. Yeah, the team went out to Armature Works. They were out there till like 3 a.m., shut the place down. I know coming back next year, Jordan Listro said publicly she will be back. So, you know, we haven't made our roster to moves yet. A couple teams around the league have announced what's going on with their rosters. Hasn't been us, but Jordan Listro, our captain, she will for sure be back. And that's awesome.
Yes. I forgot to get her NWSL card signed because I'm a dum-dum.
Well, you get another chance.
Yep.
Yeah. So she'll be a part of our roster. We all know players will be leaving, moving on to different pastures. I don't want to say greener because nowhere's greener than Tampa Bay to me.
No, nowhere's better than Tampa Bay.
I've seen a lot of the country and I love Tampa. Unfortunately, I keep ending up here. That's the bittersweet part of this is players are going to leave and players are going to join and you're going to miss who leaves, but you're going to love who joins. We don't know yet for sure who's leaving, who's staying, who's coming in. But this team is so solid, this organization is so solid, coaching staff, it's all going to work out. Bask in this, love this, know it's going to be a little bit different next year, but everyone in the stands is going to be the same plus more. The team's just going to keep getting better and better. We got 5,000 seats to fill up right now. We're going to have 15,000 to fill up in, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So keep making this happen.
Hell yeah.
Talk about 15,000. There was some news, right? We're an hour into this. There was some news, y'all. The team released renderings. The same spot in Ybor, just at the Selman Expressway, where the Rays once thought they wanted to have a stadium. But their ownership is, I wouldn't say incompetent, but not as ambitious. It's Daryl Shaw's own land, just south of the Selman Expressway, right there in Ybor, if you're being generous, near Ybor, if you're being realistic.
We're extending Ybor with the stadium.
Exactly, yes. We're creating a greater Ybor.
Yes.
But yes, we are looking at, we have released renderings of, we do not have a timeline on, a soccer-specific stadium in the city of Tampa, finally.
Which, by the way, they didn't say, but it better be grass.
Yeah, it better be grass.
Yeah, because if it's turf, I'm going to be pissed.
Let's put that out there right now. It had better be grass.
Yeah.
But yes, they are looking at being 15,000 seats, you know, a nice double-decker stadium, very professional looking, overhangs, kind of the horseshoe look that's very popular these days.
A pool. I'm very excited for this rooftop pool.
Yeah.
Where we will be able to watch games. I'm not going to lie.
Enjoy having Miss Heatwave in the Heatwave section while we can, because she's going to be in the pool as soon as we get it.
Yes, that's accurate.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like I said, land owned by Daryl Shaw. So it eliminates a lot of the government blockades. Yeah, it will be, they want to say it's a public-private partnership, which means there may be some public money involved. If you're upset about, you know, stadiums using taxpayer money, I understand that. The team already put in millions of dollars to make Blake High School a pro-grade stadium. So the goodwill towards the community is there. It's they're not some NFL like Ray J. They screwed us on Ray J. They took advantage of us. I don't think the team is going to quite do that. They want to put a hotel right there. The USL League headquarters will move from West Shore to right next to the stadium. It's going to be a little district. It's going to extend.
Are they also going to put in a strip club so they can still have one near the headquarters?
God, if they have any respect for Tampa culture, they will put a strip club in there. Yes.
Any respect for Tampa culture? I love that. That's our culture.
That's our city. Strip clubs and cigars, baby. Strip club, cigars, women.
One famous strip club buying another famous strip club is headline news. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Exactly. Kara Joe Redner, don't you? Hey, Joe Redner, don't you want to like buy in on this, dude? You want to get in? Yeah, that's Tampa culture. Cigars, yes. Strip clubs, women talking.
Oh Lord.
But yeah. So there's no timeline on it yet. I know what the team keeps saying about playing at Blake is 3 to 5 years. I'd be a little surprised if it was 3-4 years to clear out that land, move the earth around and build the stadium and all that.
Yeah.
But 5, 6, 7, 5 years, look for that 2030, 2031.
That sounds like enough time to get enough money to buy the Rowdies.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Shout out Rowdies and Rays fans, if you're still listening. That's you guys got to be feeling interesting about this, huh?
By the way, if the Rays fans are like, oh, we were going to put a ballpark there. Yeah, let me see that ballpark. Where is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's the money for that ballpark?
No, baseball makes so much more money and has so much more notoriety. And, the Rowdies have been here for so much longer. Talk to your ownership, bro. Don't talk to us. So we came out in 1 year, won a league, and decided we're going to build the biggest women's soccer-specific stadium in the country, and you have an issue with it? I have issues with people who have issues with this. Why not just be happy that Tampa's good at something again? It's been a couple years since we brought a trophy to this city. Have the Bucks done it? Have the Lightning done it? Have the Rays done it? Have the Rowdies done it? No. The Sun went out. Won the league and the first chance we got at it, the first bite at the apple, and we announced we're going to build the biggest women's soccer stadium in the United States. Like, why have regrets?
You got to leave it to the women to get the stuff done.
Thank you. 25. If you're a man, sit down. Okay. I hope we hire an all-women's construction team to build the stadium. In fact. Make it happen.
I don't really care as long as it gets built.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, with grass.
With grass, we should mention.
Yeah, I just want to keep honing in on that. So that point has been made. Sorry.
I think Kaylin Marquise would co-sign that. And yeah. Jackie Simpson.
Probably so would Yuki.
I think Yuki Watari would co-sign that. Yes.
And Jackie Simpson.
So grass.
Let's just keep naming all our players that Fort Blake has ravaged.
Yeah. Hey, it's a tough place to defend. It's like the Alamo of women's soccer.
Yeah.
Except we didn't lose in the end. And the Alamo did. But yeah, that's big news, but there's not much there. I think we finish off with it's the off season. So teams are talking about what they're doing for the off season, right?
Okay.
So we got DC and Brooklyn. They're already doing their end of season roster announcements.
Yeah, they wasted no time.
Yeah. Yeah, so DC, I mean, both teams got rid of kind of a lot of players. I think the rosters were pretty heavy for a lot of these teams, and there were a good amount of players who didn't really see a lot of field time. DC got rid of, I'll do DC and you can do Brooklyn. Cause I know how much you love New York City. You got a lot of ties to the place. Liz. DC got rid of Abby Lee Stringer, Adelaide Gay, the goalie, Alex Carinos, Amanda Frisbee, Amber DiOrio, Jennifer Cujo, Katrina Gio, Madison Wolfbauer, Myra Conti, Nicole Douglas, Phoebe Canoles, and Yuka Kurosaki. Out of that group, I've picked out 3 players that would help out any team in the Super League, I think. Defensive midfielder Jennifer Cujo. She played 18 games for DC, second on the team in tackles with 54, third on the team in duels won. I think she's a good player who didn't play as much as she possibly could have. The other player I like out of that group is the Philippine national teamer, Katrina Gio, had over 1,000 minutes, 17 games played. Always an interesting piece to see. I don't think she quite slotted in in that kind of chaotic DC team the way she could have. And then a player I'm really, really surprised to see Power let go of, center back Madison Wolfbauer. She played 26 out of 28 games for them, had 3 goals, which made her the team leader in goals for a very long time, in fact. They were all off penalty kicks, but she knows how to find the back of the net. She won the Golden Boot for the 2024 TSC, led DC Power in passes, long passes, forward passes, blocks, clearances. I mean, I know Susanna Fitch, Friedrichs, they both really anchored that DC sort of defense that was pretty good, started to heat up at the end. But I'm really shocked they let Madison Wolfbauer go. I don't know if she's going to look for another opportunity, but she was one of my favorite DC players on the team. There were a couple I liked, but Madison Wolfbauer was way up there.
Yeah.
So if any team in the Super League is looking for midfield or center backs, Cujo, Gio, Wolfie, find them.
For sure. Brooklyn also has a long list of players that they are letting go, not re-signing, whatever you want to call it. We have Ginger Fontenot, Sydney Martinez, which is surprising, Alexa Goldberg, Luana Grabius, Nikia Smith, Carolyn Presley, Caroline Kelly, Dana Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Sasha Pickard. Allison Pentuso, Grace Philpotts, Emily Yapel, and Haley Miller. Yeah. Some standouts from Brooklyn. Obviously, goalkeeper Sydney Martinez would love to pick her up as a backup keeper or even a starting keeper, quite frankly. She was placed for the Puerto Rican national team. She's a USF grad. Honestly, just a phenomenal goalie. Definitely up there in the top half of the league for keepers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Friend of the pod, even if she doesn't know it yet.
Yeah. forward Luana Grabius. She was the first interleague transfer from Fort Lauderdale to Brooklyn. Wow. Did Fort Lauderdale fuck that up?
Right.
Wow. We're rolling them off here today. I'm so sorry. That's three. I apologize. Super producer Eureka. It's a championship game. We're going balls to the wall today. I lost my train of thought. Second on the team in goals. She had 5 in 27 games played, 2 assists and 38 shots, the most on the team. Defender Allison Pentuso led the team in minutes and passes, with 1,604 long passes and forward passes. So surprising too that she's being let go, considering how good she is. Unless she was just like, "Nah, I can do better."
Yeah, yeah. Brooklyn let go of a lot, but those three players were—I mean, those three players were Brooklyn to me. There's a couple others that, if I looked at the roster, would be like, "Oh yeah, them for sure." But I would pick out Martinez, Grabius, and Pantuzo to be like three of the most Brooklyn FC players to Brooklyn FC ever. So to see them walk is shocking. I know they collapsed at one point. They looked unbeatable. They were like, at one point in the season, we were like, get them out of here. We don't want to, nobody wants to play Brooklyn right now.
Yeah.
And then they collapsed.
And then just,
they had the coach, they imploded, the coaches moved on, this, that, the other thing. So to get rid of those three players who were arguably their best three in three different phases of the game, goalkeeper, forward, defense, it's pretty shocking. Any Super League team, any team in the world, really, would be lucky to pick up Sydney Martinez, Grabias, or Pantuzo.
Yeah. Not one of our like particular standouts, but something that was leaked by the University of Kentucky. Grace Philpotts will be going to Jacksonville.
Yeah. Jacksonville's active. They're making noise. I'm not worried yet. I don't like that they got Georgia Brown, of course. But Philpotts is a good player. Didn't get enough due, I think, up in New York City. I think Jacksonville will be good. It's going to be hard to compete as the third team in Florida when the other two teams were both in the championship game. So I wish Jacksonville the absolute worst. I hope they lose every game.
I wish Fort Lauderdale whatever's worse than that.
Yes, I hope they also lose every game. I hope when Fort Lauderdale and Jacksonville play, somehow both teams lose.
That would be ideal.
Yes. Yeah. Liz, we're the guys.
We are the champions. We are still drinking that Haterade.
Right. We will never stop. I don't care how many league trophies we win, how many individual championships, awards we win, which was none this year. I don't care. It's about the team, not the players. But give us our due next year. When we repeat, put some respect on our players, okay?
Yep.
But hey, we done did the thing.
We done did the thing.
We done did the thing.
We won the whole league!
And we're going to do it again.
We're going to do it again.
Liz, it's a short off season. We're going to do some guest things.
We'll have some guests for you who cover some other teams. We'll get some insights on some of the other teams in the Super League about what's going on with them.
Yep.
Got some stuff planned for y'all.
It's a short off season. Don't leave us. We're not going to leave you guys. We're going to bring the rest of the league to you. Make sure you know what's going on for the next 60 days or whatever.
Yeah. Make sure you hit all of the buttons, the liking, the subscribing, the following. At RBLR Sports on the YouTubes, at RBLR Sun FC, everywhere else.
Yes. Give us cash when you see us in person.
No, don't do that.
Or do.
No, give us a hug.
Or cash. What?
I think that about does it.
Yes. Liz, congratulations on an incredible season. We did it.
Congratulations.
We did it together.
That was awesome.
High five in the middle.
Wait, mine's opposite.
Are you this way?
Yeah.
We'll do both.
Okay.
This way too. Right. One. This way?
No, and you go back to the other way.
This way?
Okay. Yeah.
Boom. Boom.
Yay!
And then this way too.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.